Welcome back to the Roundtable's live broadcast from the press porch at Tanglewood. I'm Joe Donahue. This press porch is located in a grove of trees, just a short walk from the famed shed where the world's greatest musicians are tuning up as we speak.
You ain't kidding, Joe. I'm Alan Shartak. We're overlooking the Stockbridge Bowl, and it's difficult to believe we could broadcast from a more beautiful, important, or historical musical setting.
We start off this morning with a check on Tanglewood with our gracious host, Managing Director. You will be gracious, I assume.
Not necessarily.
I probably should have waited until the end to say that.
I'm not saying anything.
Managing Director of the BSO, Mark Volpe, here to tell us about this amazing season ongoing at Tanglewood and offer us a behind-the-scenes look at the BSO. Good morning, sir. How are you, friend?
I am fine. I promise to behave.
No, you always behave. How's everything going?
It's been a terrific summer. We launched the Lindy Center and the Tanglewood Learning Institute, and we continue to have concerts, and the weather has obviously turned for the better, so we're all happy, and it's amazing. I think first time in my 22 years, our music director has done every concert in July, with the exception of the concert John Williams led, so he's been a busy boy, and he's about to do a Dave Ulkery performance with our incredible students and probably the best cast you can find in nature, so it'll be an exciting weekend for us.
Wow. So compared to other years, how are we doing weather-wise?
I think a little better. I mean, we had the hot streak, which obviously, although blister.
Did that cost you? Did people stay away because it was hot?
Yeah, they don't call and say, I'm not coming. But
no RSVPs or anything?
Yeah. But ultimately, yeah, I think it impacts weather. But there were 6,000 people on the grounds on a Sunday where it was a little bit like Hades.
Okay, like Hades. So my question to you really is a musical interest is, what would you rather have, thunderstorms or a heat wave?
Is this Sophie's Choice? No, you want, like today, 75 degrees and sunny.
Perfect.
Perfect. Yeah, you can't beat it. Listen, I mean, it's obviously the audience perspective is what's critical. You don't, it's not a concert unless there's an audience. But can you imagine what the players, on that Saturday night, trying to play some of the most difficult things, and you put your trumpet to your lips, and it's just a pool of sweat, and you're trying to, find a, they are amazing. They hung in there, and we had this big, Renee Fleming in a big gown. I don't really know what it is to wear a big gown, but I suspect it was incredibly hot, and she has to deliver an incredible performance, obviously featuring some imagery from George O'Keefe and Stieglitz, her husband, and I marvel at what the BSO players can do in good weather and what they seem to be able to do in inclement weather.
When you think about this the season and as you're putting it on, has the Lindy Center changed? Does it divert or does it just add?
I think it absolutely adds and supplements what we do, and I obviously totally biased source, but it's more successful even in the first few weeks than I thought it would be. The cafe is packed every day and before concerts at Ozawa Hall. And there's great energy, and we had Tom Stoppard, one of the great.
That's amazing.
And do a lecture. The place was packed, and people got excited, and all of a sudden we had 1,600 people at an Ozawa Hall concert, hearing a piece that Andre Previn, frankly the last piece Andre ever composed, and my colleague Tony Fogg was a genius in keeping it together after Andre passed, but we kept the spirit of Andre alive through this piece, and Renee, who's one of his close collaborators, certainly was part of that, and we were very fortunate to have Uma Thurman. It was kind of fun for me because her uncle played in the Detroit Symphony and way back in the past century. I was one of his good friends, or I hope I remain his friend. he was like 6'8". He was like, you could always, and you can see where Uma gets her height because it's,
And that was her
family.
What'd you say?
Her uncle.
Her uncle. So, yeah, we know her dad, Robert.
Yeah.
Who also is a tall man.
Her dad, I think there's a connection there.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I took my last Gen X class, I think I was in seventh grade, so I'm kind of going out on a limb there.
It all makes sense.
Yeah, it all.
Do I have it wrong, or didn't she dance with Travolta?
Yeah, and Pulp Fiction.
Yeah. That was a great picture.
We had Travolta dancing on our stage once, if you recall, when he came here for a JT concert. So, and everyone else that was dancing close to Travolta looked like a total fool. But and I would go nowhere near that myself. So he moves like no other guy I've seen.
Then, so we talked a little bit about what has been happening. So what? But we still have another month that you're here.
Oh yeah,
for goodness sakes.
Yeah. Well, this is a big, big summer, and so we have Yo-Yo, Yo-Yo almost every day. It's doing something. He's playing complete Bach suites. He's playing a Schumann concerto with the orchestra. He's leading a master class. That would be fascinating to see Yo-Yo interact with young, phenomenally talented cellists playing Bach. He's got a day in Pittsfield where they're going to be bringing people together and making tables. So he's certainly one of the features. John's coming back. Film night is always one of the great traditions here. Before we even get to that point, Keith's doing a complete performance, and it's one of the coolest things when you have on the big screen the Star Wars, and then you hear, I mean, this new technology where they can extract the music, and it sounds so spectacular. So we did it in Boston, and I can't wait for the people out here to experience that.
Now, you know that I'm not a provocateur, right, Mark?
Never right. Noticed.
So my question is, with the Lindy Center filling in a lot of winter months here, Do you envision a time when, you know, the Berkshires become more important than Boston to the BSO?
I would say if you look at our corporate name, it starts with Boston.
I was wondering whether you're going to change that.
No, I mean we did the bad joke last time where
the BSO and be Berkshire.
We Berkshire Symphony Orchestra. I think there is one. I think that trademark has been registered by someone else. But anyhow, if global warming it proves to be what it could be, we could be here.
This could be the coast.
This could be the coast. So that being said, what makes us absolutely unique is Tanglewood. No other orchestra. Every big city has an orchestra. Some have several. But what makes us unique, and this place is a spiritual place, and having an off-season presence and having our players involved in that, and having the Lindy Center be a resource for community engagement and education off-season. And I mean, what I'm saying is there won't be an off-season anymore because we will have a presence. But I don't mean to break this to you, Alan, but we probably will still do concerts in Boston, at least for a while.
Yeah. And you're still there longer, right? I mean, that's...
Well, if you expand the summer, and I know you guys both have certain clout with various entities, we will be here longer. If you can... You know.
Yeah.
Because, well, I mean, one of the great, great things about the Lindy Center is we have four fully winterized, fully HVAC-powered facilities. Unfortunately, there are 100 other buildings that have no heat, so...
Now, that's interesting. Will you have to be here more often in what would have been the off season than you were prior?
Yeah. I mean, but I believe me, I love being out here, and it's amazing when you drive around in the middle of January, February, you see buildings, you know, some of these spectacular buildings that you didn't know existed, because obviously the deciduous trees lose their leaves, and you get different kinds of perspective. So, and this past year, I was out here quite a bit because there was a little building project I think we talked about once or twice. So I was here meeting with architects and landscape people and the team and all that.
I just want to get back to the Star Wars thing. Help me out with this, but there was some sort of licensing? This year was a year that you could actually, that they gave people rights to show those films, the original films. Am I wrong on that?
Yeah, you are.
Okay.
they've been pretty... We're not showing the film that hasn't been released yet, put it that way.
Right. I mean, I know that.
In fact, there's a reason, because John's in L.A. right now recording it, so the music's the last thing to drop, as you probably know. So, no, I think there's real interest in this incredible brand that Lucas has created, and
right.
I think to his sadness, sold it to Disney, because it continues to exponentially grow in impact, but you know, it's something that is closely identified with John Williams, and John Williams is closely identified with us. So we will be probably playing John Williams music long after we're sitting here.
He's amazing.
Yeah,
I mean he's just
unique. I mean he's the soundtrack of a generation when you start thinking about the volume and not just Spielberg movies, but And so I, you know, and he's one of the most generous souls. I mean, it's amazing how important Tanglewood is to him, you know, because, I mean, when I, you know, dabble with, you know, talking to him about L.A., you know, he says that's not real. I mean, but he comes here and he can, you know, he walks the grounds and he feels the spirits of Bernstein and Copeland. And he just, we just, as you know, unveiled a bust of Koussevitzky, who is the founder. We did a quick focus group because people recognize Leonard Bernstein, you know,
right.
Yeah,
many
sure.
people, not all people, of course. But Koussevitzky, we went out there with a wax rendering about 2 years ago, and about 150, it was a little focus group, 150 people walked by, including John and me. Of the 150 people, two people recognized Koussevitzky, and that would be John and me. So we decided that we needed to do a better job of telling our history, because without Koussevitzky, there isn't Tanglewood.
No, and my wife, Roselle, has a picture of Koussevitzky up in our bathroom. So everybody goes in that bathroom.
I've never been there, but I'll take your word for it.
Ask who Koussevitzky is.
Did you, I don't know, who else deserves a statue? Or a statue?
I think John Williams, but I don't, he's very Arthur very Fiedler? Modest. Arthur has one. If you go on the Esplanade, where he's,
yeah.
you know, where we, you know, we just had a little modest concert for 500,000 people. You walk 15 feet from the hat shell, or not 15 feet. You walk 150 yards from the hat shell, and there's this enormous statue of Fiedler. So and Sagey actually has a pretty big building named after
yeah,
him.
Well, yeah, well, he's got legacy, his legacy.
Bernstein has a campus and a bus. So I think John is a logical one, but John has made it clear to me that's not happening, and he's not paying for it.
Where does that? I mean, that modesty is lovely, and yet it must be a little, not annoying to you, but just to think, well, he deserves that.
He absolutely deserves it, but, you know, respecting his wishes
sure.
is critical, and he, you know, has this connection with Tanglewood, has this view of Tanglewood, and wants to perpetuate through his presence here, but also his generosity, and I respect that, and not going to force the issue.
No.
You know, our pal Pete Seeger wouldn't allow anybody to name anything after him, wouldn't allow a bridge, wouldn't allow any of that stuff. And we had it all arranged. It was going to happen. The legislature was going along. The governor was going along. But he just said no. And in the end, when the principal says no, it's no.
I'm not that modest. But go on. I'm
well, I got a bridge
name it. I'm told there was just a bridge across the Hudson River that generated a little bit of your one of your interview subjects has had some role in that.
So what are the meetings like at BSO headquarters, in the sense of you have the Lindy Center open, and you think, all right, do we let this breathe for a little bit before we take on another major project, or are we're still working on another major project, or yeah. let's look down the line of what we're going to do in 2, 5, 10 years?
It's a blessing and a curse. And we have, you know, 104 buildings here and 500 plus acres of property in Boston. We own not only the hall, but the adjacent block, as well as a property across the street from the hall. And when you have that, you know, the blessing is we have this incredible, no orchestra has that type of real estate. No orchestra has anything close to that type of real estate footprint. The curse is you got to pay for stuff, and you got to keep stuff, keep stuff maintained, but beyond that, you have possibilities, and obviously we all have imaginations and what's next, and I'm not here to announce anything, but recognize that there will be something else, not necessarily here, it could be in Boston, but we'll see.
So let me just get this straight. Some people have acquired a great deal of wealth. So somebody comes to you, Mark Volpe, and says, "Here's $200 million. Use it the way you'd like."
Building a statue of Alan Chartok would be
something like that. Yeah,
something
what could you? I mean, in the back of your mind, you must have a couple of $100 million projects
sure.
ready to roll, right?
Well, in Boston, we have a 119-year-old. Oh, wait a minute, 119-year-old hall. I'm getting confused with the origin of the orchestra. 119-year-old hall that obviously we keep in pristine shape, but we have the smallest amount of public space of any hall in the country. I mean, that would need to be addressed. Boston is exploding in terms of real estate. We have, you know, real estate that has potential to be monetized over, you know, whatever, if we're talking a decade or, you know, at some point something is going to happen, and I would certainly split the money. Thank you, Alan, for the very generous gift you're making. I guess you turn over the license of the station to us as well. And so I would split the money between Boston and Tanglewood. But since we just completed a major project in Tanglewood, I would look east.
So I take it, Joe, that we're getting a pretty good hint here of where those couple of hundred million dollars are going to be spent.
Yeah.
Let the record show Mark is nodding his head.
Nodding his head. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm nodding it diagonally, so I'm being totally...
All right. What have we learned? What's the review?
Well, I think one of the things I haven't pitched, if I can be so bold, is we have a whole run of probably the biggest lineup we've had around Labor Day we've had in years, and for popular artists, including Reba McEntire, Squeeze, Pat Benatar. We have Train coming back on August 5th. It's even before Labor Day weekend. Gladys Knight. So we continue to have a presence on the shoulders of the BSO season and try to generate some activity for us, candidly, but also for the various people that depend on Tanglewood for their livelihoods.
Are we getting more of that now? In other words?
Yeah, but we're going to have to see what works and what doesn't work. We shouldn't, in terms of, we're a mission-driven institution, we shouldn't be losing money in some of these shows. So we'll live and learn, and some of the shows do great.
Have you ever lost money on a show?
Oh, sure. It's a little bit...
Can you name them?
No. I can, but I'm not going to.
We'll never have that guy back again.
And do you... Well, we're out of time. But I mean, I assume that's one of the things where we get back to weather. I mean, there's a lot of different factors that can get into it. So you sort
It's a complicated formula.
Yeah. Well, Mark Volpe is the managing director of the BSO. He's you're a wonderful host. Thank you so much for inviting us back again and again. We love being here, and we love having you on. And just have a beautiful rest of the summer.
And have a wonderful croissant.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to it.
For more information on all the cool stuff that Mark talked about, you can go to tanglewood.org. We'll be right back from our live broadcast from Lenox on WAMC.